Yeah, I'll just quickly go over some of the information that we've gleaned after the action. Our stats, now that the dust has settled, we've had a chance to kind of look at the big picture statistical information. So violent crime, and by violent crime we're including all crimes against the person, including common assault. We had 421 incidences during the Olympic period versus 324 in the comparable period last year. So statistically, that's 30% increase, but in real numbers, that's only 6 incidences a day that we actually had an increase as far as crimes against the person. And when you look at the size of the crowds that were in the downtown entertainment district, really it's not that astronomical. Property crime did go down by about 6%, and our total criminal code offenses went down by 1% during the Olympic period. This is only the city of Vancouver. We haven't been able to get all of the data yet for the region, although anecdotally what we've heard is that crime was either static or reduced throughout most of the region because most of the people were in downtown Vancouver. And I put in here SkyTrain passengers just to kind of give you an indication of the population we were dealing with in the downtown core. On Sunday, February the 14th, they had 450,000 more riders come into Vancouver than they would on a normal Sunday. So we were dealing with a very significant population in the downtown. Our calls for service, as we expected, did go up. The 911 calls went up by a little over 7%. The non-emergency calls, this is a whopping 38%. But some of those were things like, who's playing the hockey game today? Those kind of things that we get all the time.
Can you give me tickets?
And are very problematic, but they are things that we have to deal with through e-com. Officer initiated went up 40%, but when you look at the number of additional police officers that were out there, that makes sense as well. There's a lot more on the incidents. Others, that's like our TRT response. Those responses also went up 16%. And our total number of reports went up by 11, almost 12% over the period of the Olympic Games. We handled 36 demonstrations during the Olympic Games period. Right, so that's 2 a day. We did have 2 violent demonstrations. The opening ceremony, so as you'll probably recall, there was a violent component to it. It was a large demonstration, 1,500 plus people, but there was a contingent within it that were violent, and our officers responded incredibly admirably. Frankly, they took more abuse than they should have, but that was because we did not want to be baited into an overreaction based on the acts of a very few. The February 13th heart attack, that was the Saturday morning where newspaper boxes were thrown through the windows of the Toronto Dominion Bank and the HSBC store. Again, a violent protest, but that pretty much ended the violent protest, and I think a lot of that's attributable to the response of the police to how we handled them. And the fact that, frankly, the public came over in our favor, that because we had a very reasoned and measured response to this violence, it worked out very, very well. The Tent City was going on through 58 West Hastings throughout the period of the Olympic Games. Not really a big policing problem. We were monitoring it. We were working with the city, but it wasn't a situation where we had any need to engage. And we also had 3 significant events during the Olympic period that we had to work with and manage. The Chinese New Year Parade and the Women's Memorial March were both on February the 14th. So those both drew significant crowds and created transportation logistical problems, but we had to manage that, and we did. They were real very positive events. And then we also facilitated the flash mob. And if you go onto YouTube and do the flash mob for February the 13th, you'll see the 2 blocks of Robson Street. We were able to shut the blocks down. They opened them up. People poured into the blocks. Martha and the Vandellas dancing in the street, and then just as quickly vacated the area. And that was at 4 o'clock on that Saturday. So all significant events that we were able to manage without any real problems. So what were our major challenges? Well, the torch run was a significant challenge. February the 11th was relatively unremarkable. February 12th, which is the opening day, was considerably challenging. Down at Victory Square, where there was supposed to be a presentation with a number of the vets, the World War II veterans, this is also the site where some of the anti-Olympic protesters chose to blockade the route. So consequently, we were able to reroute the torch run, so there was no engaging of the crowd, but it did deny the veterans an opportunity to see the torch and to have their presentation. And then we had a second blockade up on Commercial Drive during the Torch Run Road as well, where literally barbed wire was run across the road and obstacles were put on the street. Again, we were able to reroute the Torch Run, so it didn't impact the Torch Run, but a significant number of school children were also denied the opportunity to see the torch. The heart attack, which I've spoken to, the opening ceremony was an incredibly logistically complex event. We had nearly 40 internationally protected persons, levels 3 through 5. Now, that means an internationally protected person from level 3 or higher requires some sort of a police response, some sort of a police liaison or a police bodyguard. And that included the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden. So the logistics of that alone are very complicated, but then you have 45,000 spectators going to the event, along with 3,750 athletes, and another 3,000 performers and 1,500 demonstrators, all congregating on the same piece of geography. It was a very complex task, but again, the demonstration did momentarily interfere with some of the transportation issues, but only momentarily, and we were able to successfully load it in, load it out, no problems. The heart attack demo we've already spoken to. Nobody anticipated the sizes of the crowds we were getting within the Granville Entertainment District. It was probably twice what I was expecting to see down there, and I'll talk about it a little bit later on as well, but it was just an incredibly enormous crowd coming to the downtown core and sharing the Olympic experience. Luckily, it was, for the most part, a celebratory crowd, so that we didn't have to run into too many issues, but the dynamics of the crowd as the night wore on did change, and we did have to deal with some alcohol-fueled issues post-midnight. Live City Vancouver was also a victim of its own success. Its footprint would only support about 8,000 people in the Yaletown site, and that's where some of the live concerts were held, and some of those concerts attracted considerably more than 8,000 people. So we had to manage large groups of people that weren't able to get into the concerts. And then the nightly fireworks also created some challenges on the seawall around the Live City site. So again, managing pedestrians, managing public safety. Closing ceremony had the same kind of numbers. You didn't have many IPPs, but the same kind of numbers, but a much, much smaller demo. As a matter of fact, by the time the closing ceremonies came, the demo itself was about 60 people, and the crowd control unit was actually protecting the demonstrators from the rest of the people, as opposed to the opposite, because they were actually having objects thrown at the demonstrators, so we had to actually protect them. The operational period and tempo was really challenging for this organization. It was 18 days of full-out policing, and that included 3 weekends, the way that it was laid out. So what it did indicate for us is that you had to have redundancy in all of your key roles, that there were going to be issues where people were going to get ill, although we only had, I think at the highest, 23 people off sick. In this period, in a normal period, we'd have 40 off sick. So our sickness was way down, about half of what it would normally be. But people's in-laws die, people's relatives die, people's families get sick. Those kind of issues do arise over a period of this length of time, so we had to manage and deal with all of those. From the command perspective, that's a long, long time to be managing this kind of an incident. All of the executive were out every day dealing with, some of it was just esprit de corps type issues, but every morning we were meeting and addressing the issues for the upcoming day. So it was a very challenging period for all of our people, but I have to say on a personal note that everybody performed above and beyond. We didn't have any kind of issues where people failed us at all. It was really, everybody rolled up their sleeves and pulled together, so it was quite amazing. We were greatly assisted by the ISU, the Integrated Security Unit. When we first set out the games, we had 44 members. QRT is a quick response team. And with the RCMP, they use their attack troops, which are what we call crowd control unit, as quick response teams. So we had a half of that deployed, 44 members assisting us on the Granville Entertainment District when we first started out on this thing. By the second week, we had doubled that to 88 members. And the second Friday of the Olympics, which was the 19th, that was a pivotal night for us because that's when we had an incredibly high volume of people. We had an interesting demographic downtown. It was less celebratory, And so it created some challenges for us. And that was the night when we made the determination that we were going to seek to get the liquor stores closed the following day, because the consumption of alcohol publicly became a very big problem for us on that particular evening. And then by the end of the ceremonies, we were deploying two of the RCMP QRTs on the entertainment district and the perimeter of the entertainment district. Now, these were members that were brought in and held in reserve to deal with all kinds of policing issues, and it turns out that the issue that they had to deal with was assisting us in the entertainment district. And then we also used a half of a QRT for liquor enforcement, and I'll show that deployment in a second. So we obtained about 9,000 additional hours of police resources that were provided at no cost to the department by the ISU. So in the entertainment district, we had Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. And really, they were predicated on the metrics that we came up with, where if Canada was playing hockey and it was good weather and we had a young, exuberant demographic drawn in by the concerts at the Live City, that would be a Plan A night. It was lousy weather, no hockey game, and Ackerbilt at Live City, that would be a Plan C night. So we would have to adjust accordingly as we went along. So this is the full meal deal, 502 officers really looking after the entertainment district. So we had a liquor enforcement component, and that was dealing with the liquor outlets, the retail liquor outlets, and all the peripheral issues, so that we were intercepting people coming into the area with liquor-related issues. We had a crowd management component, so these are our people that are trained to deal with the congestion of the big crowds. So that's our crowd control unit, the RCMP QRTs. So they were the ones that were in the congested area. The liquor enforcement were in the periphery. We had a traffic management component, because what we were constantly doing was adjusting the size of the box in the entertainment district, where we were closing off streets and where we were opening. And it was really dictated by the size of the crowd. So we were constantly changing that around. And then we also had a component with Live City. The downtown part of Live City was very manageable. The Yale Town was more of a challenge, because that's where all of the presentations and the concerts and things were happening. So all of those components came into play for the entertainment district. So after the first week, we started tracking some of these issues, because after the first week was when it started to become a little more problematic as far as the outside liquor goes. We did over 2,000 voluntary pour-outs of liquor. We did 1,230 provincial tickets for consuming alcohol in public. Now, it wasn't our goal to write a lot of tickets, but if that was the most effective tool, that's what we did. There was also 276 municipal bylaw tickets for various offenses. Over that period of time, we had 253 SIP. Now, SIP is state intoxication in a public place. So we arrested 253 drunks. And we had 93 breach arrests. Now, those are people that are arrested and taken out of the area because of an anticipated breach of the peace. So it looked like they were going to get into a fight. It looked like it was going to be some sort of an issue. They were arrested and removed from the area. We had 144 fight calls. We didn't face an inordinate amount of criminal issues. There was the largest single investigation we launched into was a fraudulent ticket purchasing scheme, where they were using the VAMOC ticket resale website to purchase valid tickets using stolen credit cards and then reselling those tickets. We did arrest most of the principals that were involved in that. They were all of Latvian origin. And actually, we were working with the Interpol to get background information on those people. And they're facing criminal charges right now. There was some rental accommodation scams, where people were trying to rent accommodations that they didn't own. We did have a 300% increase in counterfeit currency, but that went from 50 occurrences normally to 150 occurrences. So it's, again, relatively small numbers. We had virtually no fake 2010 merchandise to speak of. We did have a few seizures, but insignificant numbers. And there was a slight increase in pickpocketing, but that was attributable to local thieves. It wasn't a case of international crime with coming into town. So we haven't reconciled the budget yet. We haven't got all of the bills in, but we're pretty confident that we are going to come in on budget, or perhaps slightly under budget for our policing. So that's another good bit of news. CCTV was a huge component for us. We used it in our departmental operations center. We had it set up so that we were monitoring the entertainment district and the pedestrian corridors, and it was extremely beneficial for us to monitor those kind of large crowds. And we would utilize them like we do now for things like Canada Day Celebration of Lights and Canuck Hockey Playoffs. Those are the kind of major incidents where we would manage it utilizing CCTV. And the CCU, the crowd control unit training budget, is a significant challenge for us. We were able to fund it the last 2 years, utilizing surplus funding and getting ahead of it that way. But it is something that we need to maintain, because the crowd control unit was the principal group that was dealing with the large concentrations of people. And they were employing what we call the meet and greet strategy. They were doing filtering cordons. They were utilizing tactics that I think were responsible for helping maintain order throughout this event. So I think what I'll do, that's a picture on the Friday the 14th of just the kind of congestion that we were seeing on Granville Street. City engineering, working with us, they were able to map for us each block, how many people each block would support in pedestrian capacity, so we could get some crowding estimates. And the Granville Entertainment District supports roughly 100,000 people. Then the other pedestrian corridors, Mainland and Hamilton, support about 50,000 people. So when we were kind of full up, there'd be about 150,000 pedestrians out on the street. And we were certainly up to that several nights during the Olympic Games. Leave it back for questions.
Does that include Robson?
It includes about six blocks of Robson Street.
Like
three on either side, yeah, of Granville.
I'm guessing there's questions. Before you go on, I just want to, on behalf of the city, thank the BPD and Steve, your leadership and your incredible hard work for many, many months, years even before this, that led to this being such a phenomenal success. Because I'm sure you guys have gotten lots of letters commending you for the great job done. At City Hall, we've been swamped with praise, and it's been really... really inspiring to see the difference that this made, not only during the games and the feel of the city and the spirit that was infectious and made it such a great event for so long, but also this glow after. And I think that the bump that we get from this internationally as really being exceptional on public safety and as hosts, because you guys were front lines on having to do both at the same time. Really was extraordinary. So I'm sure the board is shares your opinion.
It really was a team effort that everybody pitched in, and nobody failed us. So that's what was really remarkable.
Yeah, it was great success. Any questions for the feedback, Glenn? And then Mary.
I just piggyback. Great legacy, and I'm personally so pleased at all the feedback I've received from many, many people, and some that weren't police fans, turned out, so well done. And publicly, I just wanted to thank Steve, because for 4 years, I have hounded you on this budget and gone through every possible scenario and nightmare that we were going to get stuck with a big bill, and you stalwartly defended and analyzed and presented, and I just want to publicly thank you for great diligence and opening up with me for 4 years on that. Well, thank you.
If I had known it turned out this well, I probably would have slept better before.
Mary.
And I'll add my thanks. I mean, it was just amazing. I was downtown a lot. In the daytime, I saw a lot of you guys at the Bear, of course, as well. Others out on your bikes doing right there. And at night, those crowds, I mean, it was a little intimidating sometimes, but it was just amazing how your people worked. But what I was interested in, because you had members from so many other police forces and some uniforms, of how you were able to get everybody sort of playing from the same song sheet, because I assume a lot of them didn't have the kind of training, weren't used to the meet and greet approach, and how did you kind of manage that?
Well, really, we only had to deal with the RCMP and ourselves in the urban domain. So we were able to work in advance with the RCMP tactical units, and there was an element of we were sharing some of our training and tactics with them, and then they embraced them. All of the plethora of other agencies, they were within the venues themselves. So they were securing the venue sites, but they weren't out in the urban domain where we have these heavy congestion. And And quite frankly, you have to put the right cops in this area or you can start a problem. So that was one of the challenges for us, to make sure we had the right people in the congested areas and the right people working in the periphery. But it was only the RCMP and ourselves that were in this area.
But they came under our command structure.
Yes.
And they were excellent about that. And talking to some of these tactical troop officers, they said, we learned so much in the last day or two compared to the months of pre-training that they had in the different locations across Canada. So it worked out really well, the collegiality that it emerged.
Yeah, because I ran into some of them on buses and different places, and they all...
And I have to give the RCMP and the ISU full credit in that they did come completely under our command structure within the urban domain and did follow our tactics and the way that we wanted to police it. It worked extremely well.
So what do we do for an encore?
I sail off into the sunset. I don't know.
So I think, as the chief has mentioned, that if for some reason Sochi can't get their act together, it comes back to us in a couple of years.
And I wish you all good luck.
But thank you. And a gold medal.
Absolutely.
Like I said, it's a team effort. It was everybody.
One question, maybe. Oh, Patty, go ahead.
No, okay. I just echo the thanks of everyone else. Everything I saw and heard was fantastic, and I was really proud the whole 2 weeks of and what they did. One suggestion I had, and this is more for the board, but I feel like we owe a big debt of gratitude to a lot of outside agencies and our own staff, and I'm wanting to put together some letters and send them out from the board to some of these agencies, thanking them, and put something in the elevators here on behalf of the board, thanking everyone for all their work. Maybe if people want to do that, we could.
So I have one question regarding these outside agencies, and that is on this various conversations in the street through the games. Well, later in the games, there was a few guys said these what is being developed here in terms of crowd control and proactive and positive policing is a model that a lot of these others, you know, the RCMP is interested in getting more of this training and experience in their jurisdictions. I'm curious if there is that opportunity for the department to share this best practice, these best practices with other jurisdictions. If we've been asked to come and do some of that, and that there's an opportunity.
There have been some preliminary inquiries made as to whether or not we'd be able to do that, and certainly our crowd control unit training component are able to provide that kind of training. We did do a lot of it with the RCMP, but if other units wanted to take advantage of it, we'd certainly be willing and able to provide that level of training.
Cheryl?
Just to piggyback on that, I know you made a brief comment about CCTV and the type of events that but I'm wondering what role that may have played in this instance with the ability to more efficiently deploy numbers as needed in the right places to have sort of
It was extremely helpful for our public order commanders out of our Departmental Operations Center to be able to see the kind of big picture where their issues were, where their crowds were. And so it was very effective in helping us manage the crowds. For major events, it's a very effective.
Okay, any other questions? We're good to go. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Job well done. And so, Wazin's back for the next agenda item on amendments to the